Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally on KU Band Radio at Telstar 5, 7 days a week on Truth Radio Network, and in more than 70 countries worldwide on the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage. That's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law news and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on education right after this message. You know, in 1787, the writers of our Constitution put in this clause at Article 1, Section 10. It says, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt." That clause follows the biblical injunction on just weights and balances that we see in Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. While private business is carried on in gold and silver coin, public business is conducted in commercial paper. Paper like stocks, bonds, Federal Reserve notes, credit cards, debt, and usury. Well, back in 1965, Congress said that there is no difference in the value of gold and silver coin and clad coin. And that's true. You know, when you're dealing with banks, government, and commercial industries. But out here in the real world, out in the marketplace, there is a 7-to-1 difference in the purchasing power of gold over paper. And there's a 7-to-1 difference in the taxes due on that paper over gold. Now, God and our founding fathers did not give us gold and silver coin for no good purpose. They knew that as a matter of law, gold and silver coin was absolutely necessary for us to deal in order for us to establish our property rights. Well, neither did the Congress and the politicians take our gold and silver coin away from us for no good reason either. They knew, and they knew full well, back in 1933, that in order to subjugate a free people, they would first need to take away the people's gold and silver coin in order to take away the people's right to property and destroy their property rights. Now, if you and I intend to regain our rights, duties, and capacities, then we must first regain our property and property rights, because property is the legal foundation for all of our liberties. Now, let me teach you how to do just that in my business school, which is now on compact disc for adult home study. For more information about my private business school, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package first? That's a 4-hour commentary. It's a commentary on the law in general, and it's informative and entertaining. It's educational. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call right now to order yours. The number's 417-273-4967. My business school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. Now, if you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. My grandmother told me when I was a wee lad that she had only gone to the 8th grade. Now, by 1950, it was common for American students to go to the 12th grade. It was called a high school education. My granddad only went to the 6th grade. He was the superintendent at the Harold Castile, the yard foreman, the yard boss at the Harold Castile Lumber Company back in 1950 in Willits, California. How did my granddad become the yard superintendent with a 6th grade education? Thomas Edison only had a 3rd grade education. Henry Ford had a 6th grade education. How did these people, back in the era around the turn of the century, or before the turn of the century, function out here in the real world with so little education? I had always assumed that the 8th grade meant the 8th grade. I went to the 8th grade. I knew what the level and standard of conduct and educational achievement was by the time I reached the 8th grade back in the 1950s. But what was the educational standard of achievement in 1895? Well, could you have passed the 8th grade in 1895? Do you remember when grandparents and great-grandparents used to tell us that they only had an eighth grade education? Now, I have here in front of me an eighth grade test from 1895. It's the eighth grade final exam from the museum in Salina, Kansas, dated 1895. And this is the eighth grade final exam of 1895 in Salina, Kansas. It was taken from the original documents on file, the Smoky Valley Genealogical Society and Library in Salina, Kansas. You can go there and see it for yourself. And it was reprinted by the Salina Journal, the newspaper in Salina, Kansas. Well, get your pen and paper out, boys and girls. I suspect that most of you have a college degree. And if you're like I am, I couldn't pass this test. That's right. Now, I couldn't pass this test, but then I've only got a 12th grade education. What I wanted to see is those of you who have a college degree, let's be honest, and let's see whether or not we've been shortchanged by our educational system here in 2004. Today in America, we graduate 2 million students a year who are functionally illiterate. We graduate these students. It isn't that there are 2 million students in America who are functionally illiterate every year and are perhaps turned out of our school system because they couldn't make the grade, they couldn't cut the mustard. No, these 2 million students actually have a piece of paper in their hand when they walk out the door that says they have completed the 12th grade and that they're educated to the 12th grade level. They take that piece of paper out, put it on the desk of a prospective employer and say, I'm educated, I want you to give me a job. I'm skilled, I'm trained, I can read and write, I'm educated. The truth of the matter is, these people not only are not educated, they're in the process of perpetrating a fraud upon everybody who believes that they are educated. And a fraud has been perpetrated upon these students, these young people, who they themselves believe that they have been educated. Now, education is a system whereby we set before you choices and you make choices. Knowledge of and by itself isn't education, but choices are education or is education. In the Bible, we find that God gives us choices. He says, okay, look, here's the way this game has to be played, and I'm going to give you the choice. American education isn't education, it's indoctrination. It's indoctrination into socialism and communism, a political ideology, a religion. It is indoctrination into a New Age religion. It's not education. But in 1895, Americans were actually educated. They made choices. There was a choice for you to make. You weren't compelled to go to school. You went to school because you made a choice, and you wanted to go to school because you wanted to learn something. Not everybody in 1895 went to school. Many people were uneducated. It was a choice that they made. Somebody woke up one day and said, we don't think people should have that choice. We think that we should have indoctrination. We believe that everybody should be educated. Everybody should be indoctrinated into a standard of knowledge, a standard of information. When you go to public school, you don't make a choice. There's no choice in education in America. You're going to be indoctrinated in the public school. That's the last word on the subject, and if you refuse, you will be punished. And that's the bottom line. But in 1895, we had choice. My grandmother, I guess her parents, decided that she should be educated, and they sent her to public school until the eighth grade. I don't know why she didn't go on. She never explained to me with any specificity why she didn't go on to high school. Now, my grandmother was born in 1882, So by 1900, during this period of time, 1895, when she got her eighth grade education, I noticed that my grandmother's writing, her handwriting, was unusually good. My Aunt Bessie, born in 1902 or 3, her handwriting was just absolutely like Thomas Jefferson's handwriting in the Declaration of Independence. Take a look at the Declaration of Independence. It's not typed or printed. It's handwritten by Thomas Jefferson. Can you write like Thomas Jefferson? Well, when I was a lad growing up, everybody could write like Thomas Jefferson. They could write a straight line from one side of the page to the other. From the top to the bottom, the lines were straight across the page. There were no lines on the paper. I have 8.5 by 11 notebook paper called legal pads, and I write on them. I couldn't write a straight line if my life depended on it. I have to have the lines on the paper. Furthermore, my handwriting is very poor. And I'll just bet you that yours is as poor as mine. Now, if you got your pen and paper out there, and if you've got a college degree, and if you've got the gumption to do this, let me give you the 1895 education test. Let's start off with grammar. This is a time test. It's 1 hour. There are 10 questions in this examination. Just 10 questions, and you have 1 hour. That's 6 minutes per question. You have 6 minutes to answer this first question. Give 9 rules for the use of capital letters. This is grammar. First question, 6 minutes. Give 9 rules for the use of capital letters. The second question in the grammar test of 1895 says, name the parts of speech and define those that have no modifications. Question 2, 6 minutes. Name the parts of speech and define those that have no modifications. Question 3. Define verse, stanza, and paragraph. You have 6 minutes to define, that is, give the definition for verse, stanza, and paragraph. Can you tell me in writing what a paragraph is, what is a stanza, and what is a verse? Question 4. What are the principal parts of a verb? Give the principal parts of lie, play, and run. 3 verbs. Give the principal parts of the word lie, the word play, and the word run. The question is, what are the principal parts of a verb? Question 5. Define case and then illustrate each case. Question 5. 6 minutes. Define case and illustrate each case. Question 6. What is punctuation? Give rules for the principal marks of punctuation. Question 6. 6 minutes. What is punctuation? And then give the rules for the principal marks of punctuation. Question 7, 8, 9, and 10 is composition. So you have 24 minutes to write a composition of about 150 words. All right? We're going to write a composition of 150 words and show therein that you understand the principle and practical use of the rules of grammar. Write a 150-word composition in 24 minutes. And show that you understand the practical use of the rules of grammar. 10 questions, 60 minutes. This is the actual 8th grade final exam of Salina, Kansas in 1895. My grandmother went to the 8th grade. And I can see now, after having seen this test, that my grandmother was better educated at the 8th grade than I was at the 12th grade, and indeed, I can't pass this test today, and I'm 65 years old. I was educated in America's public schools in the 1950s. Charlotte Isherby wrote a brilliant book on the deliberate dumbing down of America. Now, if you have been dumbed down, I guess it's up to you to re-educate yourself. But before you can educate yourself, don't you have to know, first of all, how ignorant you are? So by taking this test, you're going to see just how ignorant you are today in 2004, 109 years after this test was given in Salina, Kansas. And get this, you couldn't get out of the 8th grade until you could pass this test. You have to score 70% on the test. Section 2, arithmetic. The time, 1.25 hours, it's 1 hour and 15 minutes. So you're going to get 75 minutes to answer 10 questions. 10 questions in the arithmetic test. That's about 7.5 minutes per question. Question 1, arithmetic. Name and define the fundamental rules of arithmetic. Question 1, 7.5 minutes. Name and define the fundamental rules of arithmetic. Question 2, a wagon box is 2 feet deep, 10 feet long, and 3 feet wide. How many bushels of wheat will it hold? Question 2, 7.5 minutes. A wagon box is 2 feet deep, 10 feet long, and 3 feet wide. How many bushels of wheat will it hold? Question 3. If a load of wheat weighs 3,942 pounds, what is it worth at 50 cents a bushel, deducting 1,050 pounds for tare? Question 3, 7.5 minutes. If a load of wheat weighs 3,942 pounds, what is its worth at 50 cents a bushel when you deduct 1,050 pounds for tare? Question 4, 7.5 minutes. District number 33 has a valuation of $35,000. What is the necessary levy to carry on a school 7 months at $50 a month and have $104 for incidentals? Question 4, 7.5 minutes. District number 33 has a valuation of $35,000. What is the necessary levy to carry on a school 7 months at $50 a month and still have $104 left over for incidentals? Question 5, 7.5 minutes. Find the cost of 6,720 pounds of coal at $6 per ton. Question 5, find the cost of 6,720 pounds of coal at $6 per ton. Question 6, 7.5 minutes. Find the interest of $512.60 for 8 months and 18 days at 7% interest. Question 6, 7.5 minutes. Find the interest of $512.60 for 8 months and 18 days at 7%. Question 7. What is the cost of 40 boards, 12 inches wide, 16 feet long, at $20 per meter? Question 7. What is the cost of 40 boards, 12 inches wide, 16 feet long, at $20 per meter? Question 8. Find the discount on $300 for 90 days, no grace, at 10% interest. Question 8. 7.5 minutes. Find the bank discount on $300 for 90 days, no grace, at 10%. Question 9. What is the cost of a square farm at $15 an acre, the distance of which is 640 rods? Question 9. 7.5 minutes. What is the cost of a square farm at $15 per acre, the distance of which is 640 rods? Question 10. Write a bank check, a promissory note, and a receipt. 7.5 minutes. Question 10. 3 items. Write a bank check. Then write a promissory note. And then write a receipt. That's the arithmetic test. 75 minutes, 1.25 hours. 10 questions, 7.5 minutes each. In 1895, you had to score 70% to pass the arithmetic test. You had to be able to get 70% on each section of the test. Grammar, arithmetic, U.S. history, orthography, and geography. 5 areas of knowledge to graduate from the 8th grade in 1895. Here are 8 questions in U.S. history. 8 questions in U.S. history. Time, 45 minutes. Question 1. Give the epochs into which U.S. history is divided. Question 1. 45 minutes. Give the epochs into which U.S. history is divided. Question 2. Give an account of the discovery of America by Columbus. An essay question. Question 2. Give an account of the discovery of America by Columbus. Question 3. Relate the causes and results of the Revolutionary War. Question 3. Relate the causes and the results of the Revolutionary War. Question 4. Show the territorial growth of the United States. Question 4. Show the territorial growth of the United States. Question 5. Tell what you can of the history of Kansas. Question 5. Tell what you can of the history of Kansas. Question 6. Describe 3 of the most prominent battles of the rebellion. 6. Describe 3 of the most prominent battles of the rebellion. Question 7. Who were the following? Morse, Whitney, Fulton, Bell, Lincoln, Penn, and Howe, H-O-W-E. Seven men of history. Question seven. Who were these seven men of history? The question is, who were the following? Morris, Whitney, Fulton, Bell, Lincoln, Penn, and Howe. The last question, question eight. Name events connected with the following dates. Name events connected with the following dates. Five dates coming up. 1607. What happened in 1607? 1620. What happened in 1620? 1800. What happened in the year 1800? 1849. What happened in 1849? 1865. What happened in 1865? Now there you have it. Eight questions on history. 45 minutes to answer these eight questions. You must score 70% on the history test. Remember that each one of these tests, grammar, history, arithmetic, orthography, and geography. 10 questions for each section, except section 3, U.S. history, is 8 questions. All right, while you're mulling over those questions and answers, let's take a second here and see if we can pay the rent. See if I can find something to pay the rent with. You're listening to The Law Hour and the Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. You know, under the terms of a contract called the Old Covenant, it was negotiated by Moses out at Mount Sinai. You and I are entitled to 33 articulable benefits, such as rain in due season, multiplied gold, silver, herds, flocks, and great wealth. Well, George Bush Sr., back in 1992, said that what Americans want is jobs, jobs, jobs. George Bush Jr., in the 2000 election, echoed the same theme. And he, too, said that what Americans want is jobs, jobs, jobs. Now, in the election year, 2004, we're hearing the same diatribe. It's jobs, jobs, jobs. But you know, that's not what George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, Moses, or God had in mind when they wrote our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and the Ten Commandments. All of these authorities recognize that real wealth is measured in land, cattle, property, gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. It's not measured in jobs, 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 and that's because there's no money in employment. The money is in private business. The money is in sales. There's no money in public business, and there's no money in jobs, jobs, jobs. Now it's time that you cashed in on your inheritance and learned how to collect your benefits, the benefits of the Old Covenant contract, and to collect those benefits in gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. That's real property, instead of credit, debt, usury, inflation, and worthless paper. Now, if you'd like to learn more about how to do just that, why don't you call for more information on my CD Home School for Adults, my business school, and order my free general law CD package at the same time. Now, that's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's informative, it's entertaining, it's educational, it's free of charge, and you can call right now. The number to call, 417-273-5500. 4967. If you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine and send me an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, we're in the process of taking a test. If you joined us late, get a pen and paper. We're about to take a look at number 3. Remember, we're asking the question, could you have passed the 8th grade in 1895? Remember when your grandparents and great-grandparents stated that they only had an 8th grade education? Well, check this out. This is the actual 8th grade final exam from 1895 in Salina, Kansas. It was taken from the original document on file with the Smoky Valley Genealogical Society and Library in Salina, Kansas, and reprinted in the Salina Journal. Now, we went through the 8th grade grammar, 8th grade arithmetic, and 8th grade U.S. history. Let's take a look at orthography. Orthography. Time, 1 hour. My question was, what is orthography anyhow? Question 1. What is meant by the following? Alphabet. Phonetic. Orthography. Etymology. And syllabication. Question 1. Time, 1 hour. 10 questions, 6 minutes for each question. Question 1. What is meant by the following? Alphabet, phonetic, orthography, etymology, and syllabication. Question 2. 6 minutes. What are the elementary sounds? How are they classified? Question 2. What are the elementary sounds? And how are they classified? 6 minutes. Question 3. What are the following? And give some examples of each. Trigraph. Subvocals. Diphthong, cognate letters, linguals, spelled L-I-N-G-U-A-L-S, linguals. Let me give you that one again. Question 3, 6 minutes. What are the following? And give some examples of each. Trigraph. Subvocals, diphthong, cognate letters, and linguals. Question 4. 6 minutes. This is the orthography test, or orthography test. Question 4. Give 4 substitutes for caret U. Question 4. Give 4 substitutes for caret U, and it's the letter U. Question 5. 6 minutes. Orthography. Give 2 rules for spelling words with final E. Name 2 exceptions under each rule. Question 5. Give 2 rules for spelling words with final E. And then name 2 exceptions under each rule. Question 6. Give 2 uses of silent letters in spelling, and then illustrate each. Question 6. 6 minutes. Orthography. Give 2 uses of silent letters in spelling, and then illustrate each. Number 7. Define the following prefixes and then use in connection with a word, such as by, B-I, dis, D-I-S, miss, M-I-S, pre, P-R-E, semi, S-E-M-I, post, P-O-S-T, non, N-O-N, inter, I-N-T-E-R, mono, M-O-N-O, and sup, S-U-P. Let's do that one again. Question 7, 6 minutes. Define the following prefixes and then use it in connection with a word. The first one is by, B-I. The second one is dis, D-I-S. The third is miss, M-I-S. The fourth is pre, P-R-E. Followed by semi, S-E-M-I. Followed by post, P-O-S-T. Non, N-O-N. Inter, I-N-T-E-R. Mono, M-O-N-O. And sup, S-U-P. Number 8. Remember, this is the orthography test of the 1895 eighth grade final examination in Salina, Kansas. Number 8, 6 minutes. Mark diacritically and divide into syllables the following and name the sign that indicates the sound. The word card, C-A-R-D, ball, B-A-L-L, mercy, M-E-R-C-Y, sir, S-I-R, odd, O-D-D, sell, C-E-L-L, rise, R-I-S-E, blood, B-L-O-O-D, fair, F-A-R-E, and last, L-A-S-T. Again, question 8, 6 minutes. Mark diacritically and then divide into syllables the following and then name the sign that indicates the sound for the following words. The first one is card, C-A-R-D, ball, B-A-L-L, mercy, M-E-R-C-Y, sir, S-I-R, odd, O-D-D, sell, C-E-L-L, rise, R-I-S-E, blood, B-L-O-O-D, fair, F-A-R-E, and last, L-A-S-T. Question 9. Use the following correctly in sentences. 6 minutes. Use the following and do it correctly in sentences. The words cite, C-I-T-E, S-I-T-E, S-I-G-H-T. Fane, F-A-N-E, fain, F-A-I-N, and fain, F-E-I-G-N. Vain, V-A-N-E, V-A-I-N, and V-E-I-N. And raise, R-A-Z-E, R-A-I-S-E, and R-A-Y-S. Question number 9, orthography. Use the following words correctly in sentences. The first one is cite, C-I-T-E, S-I-T-E, and S-I-G-H-T. The second group is fain, F-A-N-E, F-A-I-N and F-E-I-G-N. The third set is vain, V-A-N-E, V-A-I-N, and V-E-I-N. The third set is raise, R-A-Z-E, R-A-I-S-E, and R-A-Y-S. The tenth and final question, 6 minutes. Question 10, orthography. Write 10 words frequently mispronounced and indicate the pronunciation by use of diacritical marks and by syllabication. Question 10. Write 10 words that are frequently mispronounced and then indicate the pronunciation by use of diacritical marks and by syllabication. Those are the 10 questions in orthography. Time, 1 hour. You may ask the question, what is this anyhow? The last section of the test was in geography. Geography. Time, 1 hour. 1 hour to do the geography test. Let's see if you could pass the 8th grade geography test of 1895. Question 1. 6 minutes. What is climate, and upon what does climate depend? Question 1. What is climate, and upon what does climate depend? Question 2. How do you account for the extremes of climate in Kansas? Question 2, the geography test, 6 minutes. How do you account for the extremes of climate in Kansas? Question 3, 6 minutes. Of what use are rivers? Of what use is the ocean? Question 3, geography. Time, 1 hour. 6 minutes per question. Question 3, of what use are rivers? And of what use is the ocean? Question 4, describe the mountains of North America. Question 4, describe the mountains of North America. Question 5, 6 minutes. Name and describe the following. Monrovia, Odessa, Denver, Manitoba, Hecla, Yukon, St. Helena, Juan Fernandez, Aspinwall, and Orinoco. Question 5, 6 minutes, geography. Name and describe the following. Monrovia, Odessa, Denver, Manitoba, Hecla, Yukon, St. Helena, Juan Fernandez, Aspinwall, and Orinoco. Question 6. Name and locate the principal trade centers of the United States. Question 6. 6 minutes. Name and locate the principal trade centers of the United States. Question 7. Name all of the republics of Europe and give the capital of each. Question 7. Name all of the republics of Europe and give the capital of each. 6 minutes. Question 8. Why is the Atlantic coast colder than the Pacific in the same latitude? Question 8. 6 minutes. Why is the Atlantic coast colder than the Pacific coast in the same latitude? Question 9. 6 minutes. Geography test. 8th grade, 1895. Question 9. Describe the process by which the water of the ocean returns to the sources of rivers. Question 9. 6 minutes. Describe the process by which the water of the ocean returns to the sources of rivers. Final question. Question 10. Describe the movements of the earth and give the inclination of the earth. 6 minutes. Question 10. Geography. Describe the movements of the earth and then give the inclination of the earth. Now notice that this examination took 6 hours to complete. It gives the saying, he only had an 8th grade education, a whole new meaning. Now doesn't it? And notice that there are no true and false questions or multiple choice. You see, today we give a true and false test. Whether you know the answer to the question or not is irrelevant. You've got a 50-50 chance of getting the question correct. In fact, I discovered when I went to public school that if you answered the questions that you knew, you went through the test, true and false, and answered all the questions that you knew, about 67%, two questions out of every three, were true. The teacher did not make it 50-50. Teachers would almost invariably make most answers true. About two-thirds to three-quarters would be true. So if you went through the test and answered every question that you knew, true and false, and then went through and answered all of the rest of the questions true, you could not fail a true and false test. The second fallacy of testing is multiple choice. And that's because when we ask you a question and then give you four answers to choose from, like you see in Reader's Digest, Word Power, you get four choices. It actually tells you what the answer is. So if you know the answer, but you can't call it to mind, as soon as you read the answer, it calls it to mind because they've told you what the answer is. The only way you can miss a multiple choice question is if you absolutely do not know the answer. But in this type of a test, it asks you a question and expects you to give the answer. Now, there was a difference in testing back in the old days, and there was a difference in the level of knowledge required in the 8th grade in 1895. I took this test and I couldn't score 70%. I won't embarrass myself by telling you how poor I scored. My grandmother was better educated at the 8th grade, and my grandfather was better educated at the 6th grade than I was when I was in the 12th grade. Now, I passed the GED test. I have the high school certificate. The United States government says George Gordon is educated, but compared to 1895, I am a fool. And that's the bottom line. Now, I would appreciate any of you who have an education, 12th grade, tell me what it is, would you? Tell me what your 12th grade education or your college education is. Take this test. All you have to do is go to the archives and pull this program back off the archives and go through it a time or two. And answer these questions, if you can. Don't look up these words in the dictionary. Don't prepare yourself. Just take the test cold turkey, just like I did. Just like I gave it. Just like you would be expected to know this information by the time you were in the 8th grade. If you didn't have 70% of this information between your ears in the 8th grade in 1895 in Salina, Kansas, you could not graduate from the 8th grade. No true and false, no multiple choice. You either know it or you don't. I didn't know it. At least I didn't know 70% of it. obviously, we all know some of the answers to some of the questions. But this is a five-part test. And out of five parts, 10 questions each, save for U.S. history, which only has 8. It has a multiple part. Question number 8 asks for 5 dates. Can you tell us what it was that occurred in 1607, 1620, 1800, 1849, and 1865? Question 7 is a 6-part or 7-part test. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 names. Who were the following? Morris, Whitney, Fulton, Bell, Lincoln, Penn, and Howe. Spelled H-O-W-E. That's the man's name. So there's actually more than 10 questions with each one of these, probably 100, 150 answers or total that you need to do the test. Why don't you call me or send me an email or a letter or call me on the phone and tell me how well you did on the test. Just tell me, I took the test and I scored 70%. I took the test, I scored 80%. I took the test, I scored 90%. I scored 100%. Or I flunked the test. You don't have to tell me how badly you flunked it. But let me know what your level of education is. Are you a college graduate? Do you have a PhD? Do you have a master's degree? Are you a high school graduate? I would be interested in seeing how high can we score on an 8th grade test today. Now, talking about education and the right stuff, the late Professor Medford Evans, former chief of security training for the Atomic Energy Commission and a Yale PhD, once said of our government school system, he said, "Never has so much been spent to teach so many so little." An increasing number of parents, disenchanted with the many pitfalls of statist education, are turning to non-government alternatives. Though the number of private schools appears to have stabilized over the past decade at about 25,000 schools, with about 2.5 million students, it is estimated that homeschooling is surging at an annual rate of 20% to 40% nationwide, with nearly 2 million children now earning their, or learning rather, their ABCs and values from their parents during the school day. This flight from public schools has been accompanied by an expanding market for information and resources to enhance the teaching talents of both parents and private school educators. In looking at the background materials, as a first step, however, it is essential to understand the cause of our present discontents. Education specialist Samuel Blumenfeld, in his important work, Is Public Education Necessary?, explains in his book in disturbing detail how and why Americans have been enticed into surrendering their educational freedom for educational statism. Blumenfeld notes that of the 117 men who signed the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, and our Constitution, only 1/4 attended college. And while George Washington was educated by his father, Benjamin Franklin was educated by his father and a private school, and Thomas Jefferson was educated by a tutor. Blumenfeld's NEA, Trojan Horse in American Education, exposes the leftist political activities and the radical social policies of the National Education Association and documents the significant contribution which the nation's largest teachers' union has made to illiteracy, crime, sexual promiscuity, drug abuse, and the declining academic performance. Other works by Blumenfeld focus on solutions to the education debacle, including how to start your own home school and why you need one, which helped launch the blossoming homeschool movement, the new illiterates, and how to keep your child from becoming one. It's a detailed guide to systematic phonics and phonics instruction, and how to tutor which explains how virtually any parent who can read can adequately teach the three R's. Let me repeat that. It's a detailed guide to systematic phonics and phonics instruction, and shows you how to tutor your child, which explains how virtually any parent who can read can adequately teach the three R's to their own children. The Blumenfeld Education Letter, published monthly, keeps subscribers current on the pros and cons of educational trends. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour and Editorial Review. Tonight's report on education. Can you pass the 1895 eighth grade test? Eighth grade 1895 test. Can you pass it? You know, Joe Smith started the day early, having set his alarm clock made in Japan for 6 a.m. while his coffee pot made in Japan is perking. He puts his blow dryer made in Taiwan to work and then shaves with his electric razor made in Hong Kong. Then he puts on a dress shirt made in Taiwan, his designer jeans made in Singapore, and a pair of tennis shoes made in Korea. Then after cooking up some breakfast in his new electric skillet made in the Philippines, he sits down to figure out on his calculator made in Mexico how much he can spend today. After setting his watch made in Switzerland to the radio made in Hong Kong, he goes out and gets in his car made in Germany, goes looking, as he has for many months, for a good-paying American job. Then at the end of another discouraging and fruitless day, Joe decides to relax for a while, so he puts on a pair of sandals made in Brazil, pours himself a glass of wine made in France, and then turns on his TV made in Japan, and then wonders why it is he can't find a good-paying American job. Well, I say that instead of a good-paying American job, why doesn't Joe look for a good-paying American private business dealing in property instead of income? Now, if you'd like to tap into this power of private business, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? That's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's informative, it's entertaining, and educational. And remember, it's free of charge. You can call right now. The number is 417-273-4967. If you're online, go to the website georgegordon.org. Click on to the email machine and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. That's georgegordon.org. Why don't you do it right now before you forget? Remember, my business school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. That's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. 67. You've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the Gordon Law School and The Law Hour, please go to my website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on my website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly and has our radio logs, schedule, and archives. It can be accessed through my website at georgegordon.org. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call direct 417-273-4967. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. Hey, there's the signal that says my time is up. I got to leave it right there. I'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. So until then, good night, friends.